वेद ओम शांति 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 सदा शिव समारंभां शंकराचार्य मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वंदे तपोवनम् तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत् सद्गुरुं ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति न पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ओम् सो वी आर् इन् दि लास्ट् Query of the Prashnopanishad, where the student, his name is Hiranyanabha, he asks the teacher that, can you tell me about the Shodasha Kala Purush? Purusha, Purusha means this supreme being that has 16 Kalas. So what are these 16 Kalas? The 16 Kalas represent the whole universe. And we'll talk about that today. We'll list those 16 colors. And the teacher's name, the seeker's name was Sukesha, who was the son of Bharadwaj Muni. And he told the student Hiranyanabha, I do not know who is this Purusha with 16 colors. So he comes to Pipalada Rishi and stays for one whole year, listens to the other five questions. And then asks the teacher that the student Hiranyanabha came who asked me this question and I did not know the answer. And I even told him that if I had known the answer, I would have told you. So the Hiranyanabha left silently, maybe a little disappointed. And I'll tell you a little bit about Hiranyanabha. His history is very interesting. He is the 15th descendant of Sri Rama. So Sri Rama, his sons were Lav and Kush, and Lav and Kush sons were Nabha, and then he was the 12th descendant. So totally 15th descendant of Sri Rama. So he belonged to a very noble family. And not only he was a prince, he was a crown prince, later on became king, but he was a very ardent spiritual seeker. As you can see from his question, he goes and asks the teacher, who is this Supreme Purusha? Where is it? Where can I find that Supreme? So he had this intense desire to know. And subsequently, he became a student of Jaimini Rishi. Jaimini was one of the great masters of that time. And he studied under him and then himself became a great teacher of this knowledge of yoga. So we can see that there were these Raj Rishis who were kings, but at the same time, Rishis. So that was the student Hiranyanabha who asked Sukesha, And since Sukesha didn't know the answer, he came to Pipalada Rishi. And Pipalada Rishi, the first thing he says, Ihaiva ante sharire. This Purusha is not somebody outside, but in our body, in anta sharire. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna also says, Idam shariram kaunteya kshetram iti abhidhiyate yetat veti yahu kshetragnyam iti tat vidaha. So that which is the knower of this field is kshetragnyam, and that is me, Bhagavan says in the 13th chapter. So this, in this body itself, you will find the Purusha. Not that the Purusha is not outside, but it is the closest within us. And then when he's asking about 16 colors, what he's asking about is creation, that there is Purusha. And then there are these 16 properties, 16 facets, 16 limbs of this Purusha. So there is Purusha and then there is this world. So what is the relationship between the world and Purusha, and how can I know about that Purusha? So that was the question. Where can I find him? How can I know about him? Now, Gurudev in his previous mantra commentary had said that the teacher lives at the infinite level. And from the infinite, he is talking to us who are still at the finite level, where we think this world is real, I am real. This body is real, this mind is real, this intellect is real, this ego is real, this anil is real, this house is real, sun, moon, stars, everything is real. So from this, because we are living in this finite world and the Rishi is living in the infinite. So how from the infinite the Rishi can talk to us in our language and take us to his level? The Rishi will first come down to our level, explain to us, and that is the role of the Guru, and then lift us mentally to his level, and that is the purpose of this last query, the query number 6, where this will take our mind to the highest from where we are. So we'll start with mantra number 3. Varshaben, you have this on page 214? Sa iksham chakre.
Sa iksham chakre.
Kasmin naham utkranta.
Kasmin naham utkranta.
Utkranto bhavishyami.
Utkranto bhavishyami.
Kasmin va pratishthite.
Kasmin va pratishthite.
Pratishthasyamiti.
Pratishthasyamiti.
You can please mute. We'll all chant together. Sa iksham chakre kasmin naham utkranta utkranto bhavishyami kasmin va pratishthite pratishthasyamiti. So sa, he's referring to that Purusha, because his question is, where is that Purusha? How can I find it? At the same time, he calls this Shodasha Kala Purusha, that Purusha that has 16 colors. 16 colors represents this universe. So that Purusha who has these 16 colors as his limbs. So that is how. So that is the level of the student, where he thinks the 16 colors are real, and then there is a Purusha. So the teacher starts at our level, talking about creation. Sa iksham chakre. Iksham chakre means he thought, he contemplated, he thought about it. And what did he think? Kasmin aham utkranta. That, what is that? When utkrantaha, when it leaves, aham utkranto, aham utkrantaha bhavishyami. What is it that when it leaves, I will also leave? That's what he thought. Bhavishyami, that leaving which I will leave. And kasmin va, and kasmin va pratishthite. What is it that when it stays, pratishthasyami iti, I shall also stay. So this Purusha wants to know what is it that when it leaves this universe, I will leave, and when it stays, I will stay. So this corresponds to the chapter in the 15th chapter, Utkram Mantam Stitam Vapi, Kunjanam Vagunan Vitam, Vimudha Nanu Pashyanti, Pashyanti Jnana Chakshushaha. So an ignorant person thinks that this jiva stays, leaves, actually stays in this world, enjoys the world, and then leaves. But a wise person knows that there is no leaving, no coming, no going. That is the eye of wisdom. That's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna says. So we'll start with his first question is that there is a creation, right? The student's question is that there is a creation of 16 kalas, and there is a Purusha who created this world out of desire. That's what Gurudev also mentions in his commentary. But what is this desire and what is this creation of these 16 kalas? That is what I will try to address in the first shloka. And then in the second mantra, we will talk about the 16 kalas. So the first statement is there is no creation. Creation is not possible. There cannot be creation. They say, well, I see it. Well, we'll talk about that. Why can there be no creation? Because from that one infinite, finite cannot come out. Because that infinite is complete. It is immutable. It cannot be changed. So how does creation happen? That from something, you take out something, right? Say from an apple, you cut out 1/4 of the apple, then you have created a new piece of apple and 3/4 is left. Or from mud, you make a pot. So you modify. So Brahman cannot be cut. Brahman cannot be modified. Brahman cannot be changed. If from Brahman, if you remove something, then it becomes two, right? There is Brahman and then there is this thing. And then Brahman gets limited. Okay, Brahman is up to here, and then beyond this is the world. That is our understanding, that this world is real, and then there is some Brahman somewhere else. And so this world is as though limiting. So there cannot be creation, because if there is creation, then it becomes two, and that negates our principle of Advaita. There is one Brahman alone. That alone is. So what is this world? We'll talk about it. Then the question second asked, why did God create? You know, that is a very common question. And somebody asked Guruji, why did he create this world with so much misery and sorrow and all that? So we say that just as a person who composes a song, why did he compose? Because he had the ability to sing. Or somebody composes a poetry, he has the ability to create poetry or drama or a novel. So similarly, Brahman had this ability, but Brahman, since it's all pervading, everything that is Brahman alone with name and form and appearance. And so he created this beautiful universe. Now in this universe, there had to be some sentient beings. Right? Because if you create a house, you build a house, and then no one goes and lives in that house is useless. So Bhagwan, Brahman, this Lord Supreme created this beautiful universe, which is fictional, which is imaginary, just as a movie is imaginary, or a play is imaginary, or a poetry is imaginary, so same way, this imaginary world was created upon Brahman. That's why Shankaracharya ji says in Maya Viva Vijrim Bayat Yapi Maha Yogi Vayasvechaya, just as a magician or a yogi creates a fictitious world, like when you go to Las Vegas, you see how they create, you know, David Copperfield could create a whole world on the stage, including have a plane land, and there, nothing was really happening. Through Maya, we get deluded. So similarly, you and I are deluded by this power of the Maya, where we have given importance and reality to this imaginary world. There is no world. It is an illusion, just as a movie on a screen is an illusion. A drama is an illusion. There is no villain and hero, and it is all a creation of a director, of a writer, and the actors are playing the part. So similarly, this director, the supreme director, has created this world where you and I are playing our parts. And whatever our name and form, whether it's Anil or male, female, whatever roles we are playing, mother, father, son, daughter, all those roles we are playing. Now, the creator had to be sentient, right? Creator cannot be inert, even though science says, oh, in the beginning there was nothing. And then suddenly a big bang happened and all the five elements separated into all these universes. And then in the universe, somehow the five elements got together and created life. That's how protozoa said. So they believe that the beginning of creation is insentient, while Vedanta says that the creator had to be a sentient principle, had to be alive, cannot be inert. And the creation is not random. It's not just put together and by chance it happened. That's what science says. We say, no, there was a scientific process of this imaginary creation. Just as a movie is scientifically created, you don't just throw people together and there's a plot, there's a story. So same way. And we believe that the creation is cyclical. Science says it is linear, that it started at the Big Bang and at one time it will end, finish, khatam ho jayega. There will be nothing left. But Vedanta says that creation is cyclical. I mean, there is Satyug, Treta Yug, Dwapar Yug, Kali Yug, and then again Satyug. And it will go on and on for 1,000 cycles, and then there will be Pralaya. And that is one day of Brahmaji. That is about 4.7 billion years. And then after that will be a night of Brahmaji, that many billion years, where all these beings will become unmanifest. Suppose we are alive at that time in creation, 4.7 billion years from now, whoever is alive, when Pralaya happens, they will go into the unmanifest. And then creation will start again after another night of Brahmaji. Now, when did this creation start? You know, people asked, when was the first creation? He said, no, there was no first. Creation is anadi, beginningless. So beginningless, yes, it is beginningless. It is endless. Just as Brahman is beginningless and endless, there was no time when Brahman was not. In fact, time was created by Brahman. Time is a creation of that reality. Time itself has no independent reality. It is Brahman alone on which time appeared. So you can't say at which time Brahman was not, because Brahman was there before time. So that which is beginningless and that which is endless is continuous. So that's why they say creation is anadi. It's also endless, because when this world goes into Pralaya, then again after 4 billion years, it will manifest. So when did it start? No answer. Now, why does creation happen? So Gurudev says desires. But it's not that the supreme conscious.
It ends.
No, it ends. It ends for the individual who realizes, but not by itself. It will continue for you and I if we can realize the truth that I am Brahman, then for me the creation ends, because then I see the world as an illusion. We'll talk about that. But for as far as creation is concerned, because it is illusory, it will continue until I realize the truth. When I realize, as Nehru says, then you go beyond the bondage of Maya, and that is what the realized masters, And we'll talk about them at the end if we have time today. Otherwise, we'll do it next week. How does realized master live in this unreal world? So there are karmas, right? So when the pralaya happens, say there were 20 billion beings, animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, all went into pralaya. Now their actions are there. They don't disappear. Karmas don't disappear. Their vasanas don't disappear. But after 4 billion years, they become manifest again. So from unmanifest, it becomes manifest. That's what Bhagavan says. Avyaktadini utani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakt nidhananyeva. So from unmanifest, it will become manifest, then again become unmanifest. So that is creation and destruction. So Bhagavan creates not out of his own desire, but our desire, our unfulfilled desires at the time of death, gives me my next world. That's why Gurudev says, Bhagavan is just a poor contractor. I am the architect. I give Bhagavan the blueprint. This is how I want you to make my life. Bhagavan says, yes, sir. You want this life? I'll give you a life. You want a happy life? I'll give you a happy life. You want a sad life? I'll give you a sad life. So Bhagavan doesn't decide what kind of life we will get. It is us. We give the blueprint based on our karmas and based on our vasanas, and Bhagavan just carries out our wish. So it's not that Bhagavan created the world out of his own desire. It is to fulfill our desire that he creates the world. But in the world, and if Bhagavan even appears as an avatara, he is bound by his own laws of karma. That's why when Sri Rama came, he was bound by the laws of karma, because Bhagavan took incarnation as Bhagavan Sri Rama, and Sri Rama had to follow all the karmas. How did that happen? So they say that in the previous birth, Dashrath and Kausalya were Manu and what's her name?
Shatrupa.
Manu and Shatrupa, and they did a lot of penance, lot of tamas, tapas. And when Bhagavan Vishnu appeared, they said, Bhagavan, in our next life, we want a son like you. So Vishnu, Bhagavan said, there is nobody like me. So I myself have to appear as your son. So he appeared as Sri Rama. Then Bhagavan Vishnu had been cursed by Narad Rishi that in your next birth, when you take avatar, you will be separated from your wife, right? That story of Narad Ji, people have heard. So to fulfill that curse and to fulfill Manu and Shatrupa's wish, Bhagavan Sri Rama appeared as a human and went through all the karmas of a human being. So it is the desire of the humans, because not only humans, but all beings, animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, that this universe is created. And what is it that enters the world and then leaves the world? So the Gurudev says it as ego. Shankaracharya Ji says that as prana, because we had heard in a previous mantra that prana, when it appeared in the world, there was life. And when it decided to leave, all the other elements started choking. So what is it that when it enters, Bhagavan enters, it is said prana. So Bhagavan says when the prana enters, then life enters into the being. And when prana leaves, that's when the life ends. So the subtle body and the gross body are held together by prana. So prana is the energy or the essential factor because of which this world, this human being or this being comes into life, into existence. I don't know, it's kind of a difficult subject. I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. So prana is that which we have studied in a previous mantra. When it leaves, then the person leaves, becomes dead. You know, that's why the Udan Vayu takes the subtle body and goes to higher or lower worlds and then takes another birth. So if there is no world, then we don't need the scriptures, right? If the world is unreal, then the scriptures are unreal too. then why do we need to study the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita? We are wasting our time. They say, no. The scriptures are like the pole vaulter. Just as the pole is needed for the pole vaulter to climb, and then once he climbs on the other side, he drops the pole. So the scriptures are needed for us to go to the highest. And then we drop the scriptures, and then we become one with the truth. That's why Raman Maharishi one time was reading the Upanishads. I might have mentioned that. And somebody asked him, why are you reading the Upanishads? He says, I want to see what they have written about me. I want to see what they have written about me. So the clear knowledge and clear understanding is required as to what is being said in the scriptures. So clear knowledge about what is being said. So this wife tells her husband, I burnt 500 calories today. He said, you did? Wow, did you go to the gym to work out? She said, no, I didn't go to the gym to work out. So he said, how did you burn 500 calories? She says, I burnt your lunch. That's how I burnt 500. Poor guy had no lunch. So you have to know what the person is saying when they are talking. So similarly here, what are the scriptures telling us? That if there is an effect, there has to be a cause. If there is a karyam, there has to be a karana. So Bhagwan, the universal consciousness, takes upon the role of Ishvara as the creator, and through Maya creates this fictitious world. So Bhagwan plays the role of Ishvara, who is the karana, but it is consciousness alone. And all of that is appearing is Brahman alone. That is the Mahavakya, Tattvam Asi. You are that supreme consciousness, because there is no world. There is no ego. There is no male. There is no female. There is no body, no sun, moon, stars, nothing, planets. Brahman alone is, and that you are. So that Mahavakya is explained in this mantra. I hope I made it clear about creation. I'm sure you have heard it before. So we'll go to mantra number 4, where the 16 colors are mentioned. Hansa Ben, you want to repeat page 219 in mantra number 4. Sa pranam asrijata. Prana shraddham kham. Vayu jyotirapaha. Prithvindriyam manaha. Annamannadavīryam. Tapo mantraha. Karma lokaha. Lokeshu cha namacha. Yeah, you can please mute. We'll all chant together. Sapranam asrijata prana shraddham kham vayu jyotirapaha prithvindriyam manaha annamannadavīryam tapomantraha karma lokaha lokeshu cha namacha. So these 16 are enumerated by the Rishi, and then in the next mantra he will negate them. He said, why does he first mention the 16 and then to negate? Because Gurudev says, because we live at the level of 16. And our question is about 16. So Rishi says, okay, I will list the 16, but tell you all the 16 are unreal. So that is why. So what are the 16? Sa pranam masrijataha. So that creator created pranam. Pranaha. Then from prana, shraddha. Then from shraddha came the 5 elements. Kham is space. Vayu is air, Jyoti is fire, Apaha is water, Prithvi is earth. So space, air, fire, water, earth. And then Indriya. So Indriya means the 10 Indriyas, the Karma Indriyas and Jnana Indriyas. So sense organs, organs of action. So the 10 organs are counted as one. They are not counted as 10, but Indriya, just one. So we have Prana, Shraddha, then 5 elements, and then Indriya, 8. And then 9th is Manaha. Mana means the 4. Mana, Buddhi, Chit, Ahankar is counted as one because the mind is required to control the Indriyas. And then what sustains the mind? Annam. Food. Food includes all the grains, wheat, rice, you know, vegetables, fruits, everything. And from annat comes viryam. So we get the energy to work. The mind gets the ability to work. The body gets the ability to work from annam. And then tapaha mantraha. So these two we will talk about. And then from that comes karma, actions. And for action, we need loka. We need the 14 worlds, not only this particular world that we see, but 14 worlds are required for action. And in those lokaha, lokeshu cha namacha. And then we have name, right? Name and form. We have horse and elephant and cow and mango and buffalo and mosquito and human and black, white, all those names. You know, spoon, fork, all those names. So the prana was created. So some people say that Bhagwan is energy. You know, science says God is energy. They say God is not energy. God created energy. See, that is we have to understand. People think, all right, this energy, that is God. No, God is the creator of energy, which is called prana, which Shankaracharya ji in his commentary calls Hiranyagarbha as the total creator. And how does this Hiranyagarbha function? Just as the sun is reflected in multiple parts, lakes, rivers, but the sun itself is unaffected by the reflection if the reflection is dirty or clean. So similarly, the creator Hiranyagarbha appears in all of us, but is unaffected by what I do. And that creator I am not separate from that creator consciousness. And this firm faith we have to add. So after prana comes faith, because our faith is very wavering. You know, if things are going well, yes, everything is good. There is a very nice God. If things are not going well, why is this God doing it to me? I don't even think there is any God. He has gone to sleep. You know, he doesn't love. So we all come up with all these things. So our faith only depends on how my life is going. If life is going good, yeah, I believe in. But on the other hand, science only believes in the visible world. If you can see it, it exists. If you don't see, it doesn't. So science limits to this universe. That's it. I can see this world. I can see the sun and moon and stars. That alone is real. But Vedanta takes us to the 14 worlds and even beyond. Even they say the 14 worlds are also unreal, an appearance upon that Brahman. So there is no reality except that. So then after it came the 5 elements. We saw space, air, fire, water, earth. Space has the property of sound. We did that in Tattva Bodha. Air has sound and touch. Fire has air, sound and light. You can see it. Water has air, sound, light, and then taste. And then earth has air, sound, taste, smell, and touch, all 5. So from subtle to gross are the 5 elements. And then the 10 indriyas we talked about, the 5 sense organs, 5 organs of action. And to control them, we need the Antakarana, which is Mana, Buddhi, Chit, Ahankar, which is put as only 1. And then to sustain this mind, you need Annam, you need food. And we know that, you know, if we eat food, we feel healthy. And that is health and energy is called Viryam. So eating food, we get vitality. But then with that vitality, what do we do? Some people do good, some people do bad. So they say, if you have done a lot of bad, you need to do tapaha. Tapa is the next one. Do austerity to purify your mind, take it in the right direction. And mantras are the Vedic mantras which reveal the truth to us. So having done sadhanas through tapaha, we use the mantras to reach the supreme truth, which the Upanishad is taking us. And in the Upanishads, not only the truth is revealed, but also in the karma kanda of the Vedas, the karmas are mentioned. Karmas means actions in this world, also means rituals. So what I should do, what I should not do is mentioned as karma. After karma comes loka. I need the world, right, to enjoy my karmas. So in this world and 14 worlds, all are mentioned, the subtle worlds also. And why these lokas are mentioned? To develop vairagya. Because I'm born, then I go to heaven, I come back, or I go to hell and come back. I say, how many lifetimes, you know, Shankaracharya ji says, punarapi jananam, punarapi matar. Maranam, how many times you are going to go into a mother's womb? Aren't you tired of that? So the 14 worlds are to develop vairagya. Ho gaya, bahut ho gaya, I'm done. And all beings have names and forms, right? We all have name and form. Like there is a glass. Okay, so the glass is made out of glass, has water in it. So that is name, form, and function. I use it to drink water like that. But they are all divine because one Brahman alone has come. But why am I not able to see Brahman? Timira, darkness. Timirandasya, you know, jnananjana shalakaya, chakshurun militam tena, tasmai shri gurave namaha. I worship that guru, I prostrate to that guru who has removed this Anjani, you know, this surma of darkness because of which my eyes were closed, and he has removed that. So that is what. So that is the 16 colors. So we listed them all. Prana, faith, and then the five elements, mind, the indriyas, mind, annam, energy, tapa, mantra, karma, loka, and lokeshu namaha. So these are the 16 kalas. We have time, we can do. Auntie, you have this one, 224 page. Mantra number 5, you have this book?
Yes, I do.
Okay, sa yathe ma nadyah.
Ya jathe ma
nadyaha
syandamanaha
samudrayanaha samudram prapyastam
samudram prapyastam
gachanti
vidyete tasam vidyete nasam
namarupe samudra
ityevam prochyate evam vasya
Paridrashturimaha
Shodashakalaha
Purushayanam
Purusham Prapyastam
Gachanti
Vidyete chasam.
Nama rupe purusha. Ityevam prochyate. Sa esho kalo.
Esa esho kalo.
Amrito bhavati.
Amrito bhavati.
Tadesha shlokaha.
Tadesha shlokaha.
You can please mute. We'll all chant together. Sa yathe ma nadya sandamanaha samudrayanaha samudram prapyastam gachanti vidyete tasam nama rupe samudra ityevam prochyate evam evasya paridrashturimaha shodasha kalaha purushayanam purusham prapyastam gachanti vidyete chasam nama rupe purushityevam prochyate sa esho kalo mrito bhavati tadesha shlokaha. So the rishi gives a beautiful example. So yatha, just as ima nadyaha, all these rivers, syandamanaha, they are flowing towards where? Samudrayanaha, towards the ocean as their refuge. And samudram prapya, having reached the ocean, astam gachanti, they merge, they disappear, they become nothing, they become the ocean. Vidyete, they get destroyed. And tasam, of these rivers, nama rupe, the name and form, samudra iti evam prochyate, even though they have the name Ganga or Yamuna or Saraswati or Mississippi or Nile or Missouri, all these rivers, ultimately they get one name, samudra, right? Even though they have different names, different rivers, different properties, come from different mountains, ultimately they become one. And it is called ocean, that's it. Whether it's Ganga, Jamuna, doesn't matter. Everything is ocean. Samudra iti evam prochyate. Evam e asya. That's why Rishi says, asya, this what you are seeing, pari drashtuhu, that which you are seeing all around. Pari means all around. Imaha shodasha kalaha. So these 16 colors, we already talked about mind, senses, pranas, five elements, and so on. These 16 kalas, where do they go? Purushayanam. We came from Purusha, we go back to Purusha. We'll talk about that. And once we reach Purusham Prapya, Astam Gachanti, these 16 kalas merge into that. That's what the wise person lives in, that, where for him the 16 kalas are already merged. Astam Gachanti, Vidyete, and all these 16 kalas get destroyed. Destroyed does not mean that the wise person, his body gets destroyed, but we'll talk about that. Vidyete cha asam, of these 16 kalas, nama rupe purusha ityevam prochyate. All these 16 kalas are called purusha alone. Just as the rivers are called ocean, all these 16 kalas merged into this purusha is called Purusha, and one who knows it, now he's talking about the man of wisdom, Saha Esha, this wise person becomes Akala Amrita. He has no kalas and he is immortal, Bhavati, and that is the next shloka. So we'll just cover in brief, and if we don't have time for questions, we can end the class, and those who want to ask questions can stay afterwards. We may not have time to finish all the questions because this shloka is also a little complicated. So just as what happens from the ocean, the water vapor evaporates because of the sun, and then evaporates, becomes vapor, becomes cloud, becomes rain, becomes river, merges back into the ocean. But what is it? It is ocean alone appearing as vapor, cloud, rain, river, and so on. So it comes out from ocean, merges back into the ocean. So, and everything is nothing but ocean alone, water alone. Just as in our mind, a dream comes where I'm running in the forest, tiger is chasing me, I'm climbing a tree. The me, the tiger, the forest, the tree, everything is my mind alone, appearing as all of that, but it is an illusion. So similarly, from that Purusha emerged this dream world. That's why they say this world is a dream. And in that dream, now how is the world an illusion? Because in my mind, what creates the dream? Who is the efficient cause? Mind. What is the instrumental cause? Mind. What is the material cause? Mind. Like in creating a pot, there is an efficient cause, right? The pot maker. Then there is the wheel, the instrument, and the pot is the, and the mud is the matter and from which the pot is created. But in the dream, who is creating the dream? The mind is. So mind is the material cause, the efficient cause, the instrumental cause. So similarly, when Brahman is all three, Brahman is the material cause, efficient cause, and instrumental cause, this world is an illusion. And these 16 colors are Purusha only. So just as the water comes from the ocean, merges back, so all of us came from that Purusha, appeared as an illusion, and we merge back into that Purusha. That is the vision of a man of wisdom. So what this Upanishad has done from billions, you know, so many 7 billion humans and plants and birds and insects, has reduced it to 16 colors, right? From billions, it became 16. Then from 16, it becomes Nama Rupa. Everything is Nama Rupa. If there's a mosquito, that is his name, mosquito. He has a form and he has a function to bite. So mosquito is Nama Rupa. So from billion, it became 16, becomes 2. Then out of 2, it is only 1, Idam. Like I, and then Idam. Idam means this sun, this moon, this house, this book, this TV, this computer, this mosquito, this buffalo, this. Not only that, but this body, this mind, this intellect, this ego, everything becomes Idam. So aham is only 1. Everything is Idam, including me, including this body, what I think of myself as body, mind, intellect, star, moon. Everything is Idam and aham too, right? Aham is that consciousness. Idam is everything that is perceived, including my body. This is also Idam. That's why Bhagavan says, Idam Shariram Kaunteya. So even this body is Idam. Everything else is aham. Aham means aham, aham, that consciousness, which is like what? Like the sun, you know, just as the sun appearing in all the parts, same way this consciousness appears in all of us. And what happens from the right knowledge? From sakala, it becomes akala. Sakala means there are 16 colors. Akala means there are no colors. All the colors merge into that Purusha. And to become from sakala to akala, you need akal. From sakala to become akala, we need to use our akal that Bhagavan has given us. And one who understands this, he becomes without colors, he becomes immortal. Does that mean that his body gets destroyed? No. Like if you see a pot, do you need to destroy the pot to know it is mud? No. You don't need to destroy. You see all the parts in the world. Once you have known mud, you know all the parts, plates, cups, saucers, vase. You know, everything is mud and mud alone. You don't need to destroy the pot to know it is mud. So this enlightened master does not need to destroy his body to know it is unreal. He knows I am Brahman. This body is unreal. The mind, the intellect, this whole, all the 16 colors, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything is illusion. I as Brahman alone exist. So that is what the people are, the Rishi is taking us from 16 colors to a color, that there are no colors. This world is an illusion. One who knows alone becomes a color. without any colors, and knows I am immortal. I am that Brahman. On me, this whole world is appearing. So on me as the consciousness, not me as Anil or me as name and form, but me as that consciousness. On me, this whole world appears. So here we have covered three shlokas. One, we talked about how the creation came about, what are the 16 colors, and how all the 16 colors ultimately merge into that one Purusha. I know we covered a lot and it's a little heavy matter. Some of you, I think, might have fallen asleep. But anyway, so it's afternoon, maybe after lunch, but we have time for questions and we'll close at 1:30. If there are additional questions, people can stay afterwards. So we have a few minutes. Go ahead, please. Auntie, you have something?
It is too hard for me. I need a couple of days to read again and again.
Yes, you can read
Gurudev. When you will do the revision, it will get into it.
Also, in a few days, we will be putting on First Power. Do you know how to go on First Power?
Yes, I know that.
Yeah, so go to First Power. This talk will be there in about 2 or 3 days. Amit is the one who is uploading it now.
I need to go over this again.
Yeah, so listen to this again, please. Yeah, you can listen to it again. Thank you. We'll try to go over next week. And next week, the shlokas are short. So I'll summarize this and also summarize the entire Upanishad.
But next week, there is no class.
Next week, there is no class. So in 2 weeks, yes. We'll meet in 2 weeks. And then after that, we'll start Mukund Mala. But we'll have one more class for this Upanishad. Any other questions?
Or I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
People say Sri Krishna was Sola Kala Sampoorn. From what we are learning, everybody is Sola Kala Sampoorn.
Yes, I think last week I had mentioned, did I mention in this class or in Bhagavad Gita? Somewhere I mentioned, I think in this class. They say Sri Krishna was Sola Kala, Sri Ram was Bara Kala. So we say, oh, it's not like that. From Purna, everything is Purna. Even Kurma Avatar was Purna. Even Narsimha was Purna. But Narsimha came for a particular purpose to destroy Hiranyakashyapu. So he only had to mention, to manifest the colors of that, destruction of one individual. Kurma came for one purpose, Matsya Avatar came. So Sri Ram came to show us how an ideal human should live, while Sri Krishna showed us how God himself can function in this world. So they came for different purpose. So they manifested different colors, but all are Purna. Sri Rama is Purna, Sri Krishna is Purna, Narsimha was Purna, Matsya Avatar was Purna, all of Kurma, they were all Purna, even the Vaman Avatar. But Vaman Avatar came to remove Bali's arrogance. So each avatar has that totality, but manifests only a part of it because that is all that is required. So it is not that Sri Krishna is any greater than Sri Ram. No, they are all one.
Yeah, but from what we learned in this Upanishad, it tells us all of us are Purna.
Yes, perfect. All of us are Purna. We just don't know that. See, Sri Krishna knew that. Sri Rama knew that they are Purna. But you and I, we don't know that. That is the difference. That's why the Upanishads are required for us to tell us that we are Purna. Very good point. Thank you so much. Yes, we are all Purna. Very true. Yeah, the only difference is that we are like the example they give is the wave and the ocean. It's not that we are God, but wave is tiny and the ocean is big. So ocean is like Ishvara, wave is like us. But when I understand I am water, when the wave understands it is water, then the wave and ocean become one because water is only one. But Ishvara is like the ocean, we are like the waves. But our essential nature is water and the essential nature of Ishvara is also, not water, but our essential nature is Brahman and the essential nature of Ishvara is also Brahman. Just as the wave and ocean, their essential nature is water. Doesn't mean the wave is as great as the ocean. No, wave is tiny, ocean is big. Wave is created by the ocean, but the essence of both is water. So same way, Ishvara is all Sarva Shaktiman, Sarvagnya. We are a tiny manifestation. But when you understand my essential nature is Brahman Purna, then everything is that. So that is the understanding.
Conditioning is different.
Conditioning is different. Ishvara's conditioning is the Maya, the whole universe. While your and my conditioning is this little body. That is the difference.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good point. Thanks. So we are all Purna. We don't know that. Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
This is just a comment. Then if we leave all this misery, agony, everything out, then probably we will be able to realize that we are Purna, right?
No, you don't have to leave the miseries. Miseries will come. Even a Mahatma, Ramakrishna Paramahans, had a very terrible throat cancer, which was very, very painful. So whatever prarabdh is there of this body will go through it. But you have to understand it's not happening to me.
Oh,
this prarabdha is of this body and this mind and the intellect and this ego, this jiva will go through it, but I am not. It's not that the Mahatmas don't have, Puja Gurudev had a very bad heart disease. Eventually he only had 15% heart function. And ultimately, you know, he left his attained Mahasamadhi because his heart stopped working. So they also go through all the illnesses, but they understand they are not me. That is why. So the sorrows don't end. The experience of sorrow ends because suffering ends because I am not this body. So body is suffering, mind is suffering. Let it. So the ability to stay unaffected through all joys and sorrows. That's what Bhagavan says in the Bhagavad Gita. Sama shatrau cha mitre cha tatha mana apamana yoho shitoshna sukha dukkeshu. So a wise person will also feel heat. It's not that he won't feel 110 degree in Bakersfield or if he goes to the North Pole, he won't feel cold. But he will understand that is of the body, it's not mine. And same way, joy and sorrow, he may also have some close person dying, his son or his parents or some death will happen, you know, but he understands that is the prarabdha of the jiva. Not that he becomes cold-hearted. He has love and compassion for all because he sees oneness. That is the difference between us. But the ability to rise above this heat and cold, joy and sorrow, success and failure, that is the mark of wisdom. If anybody wants to log out, they can log out. If people want to ask questions, they can ask questions. Or we can just close if there's no more questions. Sorry, that subject was a little heavy. I hope I was able to convey the idea. Okay, we'll do. Yeah, Lata, you have a question or no?
No, you summarize. It's a heavy subject. I read and read and I went through the last couple of your sessions.
Right.
But this today was very heavy.
Yeah, yes.
Could not understand, you know.
Yeah.
It made sense of it, but.
Right. The essence of it is that there's only Purusha is real. Everything else is unreal. If you just take that from this, I am that Purusha, that alone is real. Everything else is unreal. That is the one-line message from today's talk.
Aham ne idam, what were you referring to when you said aham?
Aham means atma. Idam means everything that you perceive.
Okay.
This body, this mind, this intellect, this sun, moon, stars. Even this body is idam too, because I can perceive this body. My mind is idam because I know it. My intellect is idam. My ego is my vasana. So
that's
aham is only that consciousness.
That is duality though, right? That is duality.
Perceived duality.
perceived duality. Okay.
But actually, aham alone exists. Idam is unreal. That's what he says. Now all the 16 kalas merge into Purusha.
Mm-hmm.
So idam,
and when Viniji was referring...
I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
The kala, when we say Krishna's kala, means his playfulness. That's what I always had that understanding of kala,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But also here his abilities. It is, his abilities. He manifested all the abilities of the Purna Ishvara in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he could show the whole universe to Arjuna. Because he had all the 16 kalas of Ishvara, all the qualities. Bhagwan, Aishwarya, all the greatness. While Ramchandraji did not need to show all those. So he only showed 12 kalas. You know, how to live an ideal human being. But Sri Krishna showed. But they are all actually Purnas. All of them. I already ended. I told them whoever wants to follow.
Thank you.
Can we have the closing prayer first?
Okay. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Guru Yo Namah Harihi Om. Thank you. If anybody wishes to stay back, I can stay logged in for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Otherwise, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Next week, please attend Swamiji's class in the evening. And we may have some satsang in the afternoon. I'm not sure yet. Thank you, Hari Om.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hari Om.
Whatever Swamiji's book is going to be, can I have that book?
Okay, I'll drop it off at your house.
Okay.
Yeah, it's $11. I'll drop it off to you.
Okay.
Maybe one of these days. Sure. Thank you.